Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 7. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, and then we're going to expound those verses in tonight's study. Amen. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Honor God with Your Heart. Honor God with your heart. And we're going to see that the religious leaders had an issue with this, because religion conflicts with the relationship that we truly need to have with God. That's why Jesus came, to have a true relationship with fallen mankind. And we all know that we are part of the family of Adam and Eve. Jesus had to come to save us from the fall. And praise God, you and I are here seated in heavenly places because of the work that Jesus did on the cross for you and I. We've been set free. And so God has enlightened us and given us an understanding now on who he is, why he came, why he saved us, and where we're going once we get past this life. And so I've done several celebration of life services, and the messages that I bring will always bring a message of hope. Can I get amen? So let's read the scriptures. It says, then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with the defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. And they're always looking for fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. Verse 4, when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many of other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Let me just pause for a moment. The Pharisees would always have one intent and agenda, was trying to entrap Jesus with the Word of God. And little did they know, they were looking at the Word. Jesus is the Word. So you could never put Jesus in a corner and trap him. He would always have the answers to those questions that they would always try to impose upon him. Verse 6, and he answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? Now, notice he doesn't call sinners, people that are lost, hypocrites. He calls the religious folks hypocrites. Look what he says. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites as it is written? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. So we need to look a little closer at these scriptures. Because you could read the Word of God, and then sometimes it just goes right over you. Unless you peel some onion skin. Can I get amen? So let's look at the first two verses once again right up here. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with the defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. This is what religion does. You can visit many churches around, and I'm sorry, it's in all churches, including this one. Every now and then, you're going to find someone that's very religious and will try to point out a fault in you. Oh yeah, we're not immune here. Why? Because we're people that have been fallen in nature. And so it is our nature to find fault in someone. But this is why Jesus came. He came to show us humility. He came to show us that we are not to go down that path like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That we are to learn to love one another, to edify one another, to build each other up, especially when we are heavy laden and we walk around with heaviness and things are coming our way and things that are burdening us. This is where you need a brother and sister, someone who loves the Lord to come and help you and build you up. But these religious folks, all they want to do is tear it down. Throw basically and kick sand in your face while you were down there. So saints, another delegation, they came from Jerusalem to investigate this new rabbi. Now all rabbi means is teacher. And that's what they looked at Jesus as a rabbi, as a teacher. And who was causing such a stir throughout the country? The Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law were ready to debate Jesus about the fact that his disciples did not follow all the laws of the Pharisees and oral tradition. So they had a problem because Jesus sat with the common folks. He sat with the sinners, the tax collectors, all those that were ostracized, that were considered lowlifers. You know, if you go down just in the county of San Diego, some of you can pick out areas that you go, well, I don't go down there. There's a whole bunch of lowlifers down there. I'm not going to mention the areas, but you guys know what those areas are to you. Well, it was no different in that day, and it hasn't changed since 2,000 years later. But Jesus warned the Pharisees, and we're going to get into the woes. And you do not want God to say woe about you. We're going to learn what woe means, W-O-E. It's a very harsh indictment from heaven. So you never want heaven to indict you with a woe. And we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because we are God's children. And none of us are Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders here. At least I hope not. Can I get an amen? And so Paul the Apostle further wrote what the Holy Spirit gave him. Let's look at this right up here. It all ties in with about the traditions of men and how these Pharisees, if they didn't see how you were performing your conduct according to them, then you were out of order, you were lost, or there was something wrong with you. But look what Paul wrote here, and right up here in Colossians. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. That's what these Pharisees wanted to do. They wanted to impose their religious will upon the common people. According to the tradition of men, look at that. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Saints of God, if you get anything out of this Bible study tonight, how many would rather walk after Christ than the traditions of men? I've been to some churches, man, where, man, the poor sisters, if they didn't wear their dresses past their ankles, they were in sin. Man, if you had any hair on your face, you were in sin. If you wear jewelry, it was traditions of men. It was had nothing to do with the Word of God. And yet, there are still organizations today still operating in that. But Paul wrote this so that we don't have to be trapped in that kind of deceitfulness. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Say that with me. We are complete in him. We're complete in Christ. We don't need these traditions of man upon us. All they do is burden you. And you walk around like this, man, I can't live up to this standard. Who is the head of all principality and power? Look at verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Meaning, all that means is this. When we came to Jesus by faith, we were circumcised of the heart. Meaning, he dealt with our heart. When we received Jesus by faith, we've been born again. So we were circumcised of the heart. We didn't have to be circumcised of the flesh no more like they did back there thousands of years ago. God was saying, it's not about the flesh no more. It's about faith, about coming to Christ in faith and dealing with your heart. By putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, the working of God who raised him from the dead. Praise God. When we surrendered to the Lord and we got baptized, came out of that water, man, the Lord, he sealed the deal. How many are so blessed to know that? Come on. He took care of us. Look what it says in the book of Romans here. For whom he foreknew, that's you and I. Everyone sitting in this auditorium tonight, in this sanctuary, God already foreknew us. He predestined us. He knew your name before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. He already knew you. Man, that's how awesome God is. When you start to know his majesty, his grace, when you start to understand the wisdom and the knowledge of God through the scripture, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of one, what? Many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also he called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. I need you to just make a mental note or write it down. That when we gave our life to Christ at the cross, when the blood was applied upon us, he looks down now at you just as if you never sinned. That's what justification means. That's what justified means. And then he said he also glorified us. Now, this is a future tense. You have to have the lens of faith to look beyond this body of flesh now. He already sees us in our glorified body, our new body that will never die. So at salvation, we were justified. He predestined us. He knew that we were going to be saved. Come on, ask yourself this. Before you came to the cross, before you got saved, you were going through life doing your thing. Huh? And some of us were up to no good. I know I was. I was up to no good. And then yet, he came. And he drew me to the cross. He drew you to the cross. And at the moment of faith that you confessed him, the Spirit of God came upon you, and he washed you in his blood, and then he justified you and glorified you. Whoa! You got to get a hold of that. This is why don't fear what's going on in the world right now, because God has every one of us in the palm of his hands. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. So as these religious leaders scrutinized Jesus and his disciples, they noticed that some of Jesus' disciples failed to follow the usual Jewish ritual of the hand washing and the eating. They were nitpicking everything. Just imagine if you came to church and someone would just nitpick you apart. Why are you dressing like that? Man, you know what? Why are you looking like that? Oh, you know what? Why did you say that? Man, that would like, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I don't need that in my life. And yet, that's what these Pharisees were doing to these people. Jesus was trying to save them and show them grace and mercy. And these religious guys were saying, you're not keeping the law. None of us could keep the law. So this referred not to the washing for cleanliness, but to a particular kind of washing that made a person ceremoniously clean. Man, they went way back to the days of Moses. That was thousands of years ago. You got to remember, they didn't have iPhones. They didn't have computers. They didn't have anything in archives. And they wanted them to keep the ceremonial law of Moses. Wow. Let's go to verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. So they were always trying to emphasize their rules, their regulations. Mark explained this ritual of hand washing for the Roman readers. The Pharisees did not eat until they performed a ceremonial washing. So they were really particular, and if you didn't do it the way that they wanted you to do it, they would scrutinize you. They would belittle you. They would tear you down and tear you apart. They would kick you out. Wow. That's pretty harsh, huh? But man, Jesus dealt with these characters big time. The origin of the ceremonial washing, it was way back in the book of Exodus. Wait, let's just take a quick glimpse way back. I'm talking at least 3,000 years ago. This is what it was. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze with its base, also bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. These Pharisees who had the scrolls, but the common people didn't have the Word of God. The Bible wasn't put together until modern times. So they had no knowledge of it. And yet they were ostracized and they were scrutinized because they didn't know the law of Moses. These were common folks. Let me ask you this. Before you came to the cross, before you got saved, did you know the Old Testament and the New Testament? Did you know the things? No, come on. We had to learn these things, right? Well, these folks didn't have, these were poor folks. These people lived on dirt floors. They didn't have amenities like we have today. They didn't have running water and electricity, let alone a Bible to read. But yet, the Pharisees, man, tore them up. So they were using what they knew to be above them so that they were always secondhand people. They were always people beneath them. Has anything changed since then? Oh, you don't know folks like that, huh? They'll walk around like this. No, not today, right? So let's go back to verse 4 in Mark chapter 7. And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels. And man, they went through all kinds of rituals. They were just rituals. Man, I remember the ritual I had to grow up with. And I'm not going to knock it, but I remember it was sitting down, get on your knees, get up, stand up. Get on your knees, get back down. I just kept going one day. I just kept doing that all because any moment now, he would have said, okay, that's enough. But it was a ritual. There was nothing in it other than maybe you got your workout in. Mark explains this Jewish ceremonial cleansing ritual a bit further for his Roman audience at the time. The religious leaders were aware that in daily businesses, they might unknowingly come into contact with Gentile or unclean people and thereby become defiled. So they were just, man, I'm telling you, they were there just looking to find fault in someone. Be careful that we never operate in that mode of apparition. Can I get amen? We're to learn to love and to build up and to edify. But God has this in the Word of God so that we could see and we could glean off it and that we could be reminded that we don't need to go there. Can I get amen? But God spoke harshly regarding these characters. And I love how Jesus and the Word of God, he loves to paint pictures. It's like a painting a picture so that you can kind of could see. You know, just like the parables. Oh, by the way, the last 2 weeks we were on the prodigal son, right? On Sundays, we were expounding on the self-righteous son, and then last week, the prodigal son. Well, this week we're going to be expounding on the father. Man, and his love and mercy. Don't miss Sunday. But look what Jesus, how he painted this picture. It's incredible how Jesus knew the hearts of men. He knew the hearts of men. Look at this. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And look how the Pharisee prayed. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men and extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. The guy was boasting. He was letting people know, this is what I do. This is how you get it done. But look at the tax collector. This is considered the ostracized one, the sinner, the lowlifer. Look how his response was. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, meaning he was down here like this. He was like this, man. He couldn't even look up because he knew he wasn't worthy to look up. He was down here like this. And look what he said. Standing afar off, he would not much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus then goes on to say, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That is the key in the kingdom principles, in the kingdom of heaven, is to walk humbly before God and walk humbly before one another. Can I get an amen? Never puff yourself up. Never walk boastful. Never downcast people. Why? Because all you're doing when you downcast someone else, you're exalting yourself over them. And God sees that. So God puts this in the scriptures to teach us lessons. Can I get amen? Let's go to verse 5 in Mark 7. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? These poor folks probably didn't have bread to eat in weeks, and now they're having bread to eat, and man, they couldn't get to a running faucet. If you were starving, would you run a mile to find a running faucet or a pond or somewhere to wash your hands? I think you would just grab the bread and eat, wouldn't you? I think I would. And so, picking up from Mark 7:2, Mark continued to the narrative. The religious leaders asked Jesus why his disciples did not follow the age-old customs, one of which was eating without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. From what I understand, and we don't have time to get into, that ceremonial wash took about an hour and a half to do. Oh my gosh. Man, just give me one of those little bottles of sanitizers, man. Oh, come on. Let's get eating. Or do one of these. I'm ready, man. Let's eat. These guys were hungry. And so their underlying question was, if you are really a rabbi, now they're trying to look at Jesus to point out fault. Because he's sitting with all these sinners and tax collectors and eating with them. And all they were doing was picking things apart. He answered, and he goes on to say, that makes you no better than a common sinner, certainly not a rabbi whom all the people would be following. Meaning, you are supposed to be a righteous rabbi, and you're sitting amongst all the people that we deemed low class. Wow. Look at how Jesus responded to all this. In verse 6, he answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you? He called them hypocrites right to their face. Let me tell you, Jesus was not no what you call a coward or someone that was weak. No. Not Jesus. Jesus was full of power and might and authority of God's word. And when he dealt with these Pharisees, we see this in Scripture only in the Gospels at how harshly he dealt with them. Why? Because we're going to find out where these religious people end up at. Because they lead people astray. Look at this. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I said this before, how many inches is it from heaven to hell? Yeah, my brother remembers that. 18 inches is the distance from your heart to your mouth. Some people honor God just with their mouth, but he's nowhere found in their heart. And in vain they worship me. Look at this. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. Washing of the pitchers and cups and many such other things you do. And he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Wow. Jesus said, man, keep all that stuff that you do. Just keep it. That's not going to get you into heaven. Wow. Saints, Jesus did not answer their spoken question, but rather underline one by quoting the script. God always used the word. Jesus used the word. Can I get amen? Man, he called them hypocrites, though. Wow. Look at this. A hypocrite is one who makes judgment from under a cover. Meaning, in layman's terms, let's just say you got the cover over you, and underneath your cover, you're doing all kinds of ungodly things. Then you just lower it down, and now you're pointing someone else's faults. And then you put that cover right back up and still living in sin. Wow. The Pharisees pretended to be holy and close to God, thus judging all the people as sinners. They were just judging all of them. Why? Because they weren't keeping the simple little hand-washing ceremony. But what they pretended on the outside was not true on the inside. They looked holy. Yeah, they just got their clothes out of the cleaners. Man, you know, they were just sporting their stuff. Wow. Jesus quoted from the prophet Isaiah. He used the word. Right up here in Isaiah, look at this. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Watch out when you go visit religious organizations. Look in their creeds. Every church has a creed. The do's and don'ts. I praise God. God delivered me from a very stringent religious church. You couldn't have any hair on your face, and you couldn't have short sleeves, and you always had to come in with a suit or a tie, and you always, man, I'm telling you, if you didn't meet that standard, you were rebuked, and they thought you were in sin. Oh, you don't know a place like that, do you? No, just I do, I guess. Saints, those Pharisees might have said all the right words and give lip service to God, but their hearts were far from him. Jesus attacked their true heart condition. This is why Jesus had to come and reprove our hearts, because we would always try to justify everything in life. But I praise God that he had to expose my own heart to me. You know why? Because I was self-deceived. And many of us can be self-deceived. Can I get amen? But when he shows us these things, he doesn't beat us up. He says, give me those things, and I'll show you a better way. Wow. We serve a loving Savior. Let's look at this. The problem. They replace God's commands with their own man-made teachings and their own traditions. Their focus on minute rules of everyday life cause them to forget the scope of God's law and what is meant for the people. That's the issue he had with these folks. As leaders, they were especially culpable, for they would have been teaching the people about God. Instead, they looked down on the people as ignorant sinners and spent their time busily staying pure. Pure of what? Isaiah explained that their worship was a farce. They worship for appearances, not out of the love for God. So now, remember earlier I talked about the woe? When Jesus indicted them with the word woe, man, if I was right there, I would run and put my head in the sand, because heaven now has come and indicted these religious people. Look where it starts right here. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Meaning, you are the ones are preventing the people to come to the grace of God, because they cannot hold up to your standards. Look at this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. He deals harshly with these religious folks. Look at this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Oops. Did Jesus actually say that? Yes, he did. I find out that hell's not a curse word. You know what hell is? It's a place of torment where people go down there and are tormented 24/7. Did you know that Jesus spoke about hell more than he did heaven? That's why he came to save us from that place. This is why we need to always embrace the cross. Oh, God, thank you for your mercy. Because I was headed to that place and you came and saw fit to save me. I had nothing to do with it other than your grace and mercy. That's why I embrace the cross. Walk in humility. Look at this. You make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Wow. That, in other words, in layman's terms, you're leading someone astray. Look at what he says here. Woe to you blind guides who say whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. They were all about prosperity. How much gold they had, how much silver they had. It hasn't changed. There's religious folks, man, they living high on a hog. Look at this. He calls them fools and blind. Listen, you know, back in the day, you know, we used to do this as a joke, as kidding around. This is before we got saved. What up, fool? You remember. Don't ever call anyone a fool. Because when God calls someone a fool, they're headed to hell. Please remember that. Don't, not even jokingly. Whatever comes out of here is spoken. And heaven records it all. Look at that. He says, fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obligated to perform it. In other words, you can't meet that measure. You can't meet that measure. My goodness. He goes on to say this. Look at this. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar or this or that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Never say this to anyone. Are you sure you're telling me the truth? I swear to God. Remember that one? Stop. Don't say that again. You're swearing now. And God looks, don't swear anything regarding the word of the Lord. Can I get an amen on this? I'm teaching you something tonight. And when I read this again, I'm reminded not to go there. Can I? It's for me too. Look at this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. They didn't have mercy on these common people. They wanted to walk on top of them. They were beneath them. They had all this money and wealth, and they couldn't even buy them a fish sandwich or bread or water. They looked at them as scum of the earth. Wow. Jesus deals harshly with these religious folks. Woe to you, scribes. Look at that. These you ought to have done without leaving others undone. Blind guides who strain a gnat out of a shallow of a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite. Man, he was like chewing them up. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside it's full of extortion and self-indulgence. In other words, they look really pious and pompous. They had the rags of the day on. They were looking good. Their pompous hats, their robes, their gold, their linen. But inside they were corrupt. They were corrupt. God had to deal with these folks. Look at this. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs. Look at this, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Let me just say this. I'll say this in love. Before you go and call out someone's sin, before you go and reprove someone, before you go and try to counsel someone, you better check your own heart first. Can I get amen? Make sure you clean. Because as soon as you start doing this with someone, there's three right pointing right back at you. Be careful how you judge someone. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. I mean, they're living high on the hog. They're living in Rancho Santa Fe. And they would look down at those of us that God pulled out of the barrio. That's right. And say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wow. My goodness. And this is what he says. He ends it with this statement. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. These religious folks are the ones that murdered the prophets, because the prophets would come and say, repent, get right with God, because judgment is coming. but they wouldn't get right with God. So their own actions are a witness against the courts of heaven. That's what Jesus is saying here. Is your Bible red writing too? Oh yeah, that's Jesus talking. I mean, they wrote it down what he said. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourself that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Then he goes on, fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. He called them serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Ow! So, whoa. Notice he said it many times. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What? Whoa, wait a minute. What does woe mean? Webster's Dictionary definition of woe. I'm typo up there. Grievous, distress, affliction, or trouble. An affliction, interjection, exclamation of grief, distress, or lamentation. All this gets imputed upon them by God from heaven, upon these religious folks. Look what it says here. For Moses said, honor your father. Let's go down to verse 10. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from his korban, then you no longer let him do for anything his father or his mother. Saints, let me just say this. Jesus gave an example to illustrate how the tradition could be and was being used to negate God's law. God's law didn't come to destroy us. I need you to understand this. The law of God came to point us to the cross. Remember that. Because if there was no hope at the cross, God would have destroyed all mankind as soon as they sinned in the garden. But the Bible tells us before the foundation of the world, before God spoke everything into existence, the Bible says he already slew the Son of God. In other words, the Son of God was prepared for you and I before we even came into this world. That's the love of God. That's the grace of God. When you can just fathom that God's best interest was for us. Look at the world he created for you and I. You got to just pause everything right now. Look at how he created this world for you and I. It's the right temperature. There's food for us to eat. There's shelter. He clothes us. He gives us water. We have a home to go to. Huh? These folks, they can go home and put on a light switch. Boom, lights. They couldn't DVR their favorite program. But yet God created all this for us, for you and I. So get the idea that because many of us, before we got saved, and I'm talking about the person that doesn't know the Word of God, who's never been born again, they all think God's mad at them. He's not. God's madly in love with us. He can't stand religious folks, though. We just read that, huh? You know why? Because religion will lead you astray. And that's why he said, woe to them. Because they couldn't keep those do's and don'ts. And Jesus, it's not about that. It's about having a relationship with me. Listen, when you learn to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, guess what? You'll start learning to love God's word. Then the things that pleases him, you'll learn to love them. It's not so much, I got to do them. That's not how God operates. He's a relational God. He wants a relationship with us. And he wants to show you a better way. He wants to take out the lies and the spin doctors of the world. He wants to drive out those things so that we can unlearn those things and relearn things that come from God's word so that we can apply them and embed our lives. It's all about embeddering our life. We're not going to gain any more access to heaven. It's already done at the cross. Can I get amen? It's not about getting points with God. No. He put the scriptures for us that we can enjoy a better life. This for us. That we would embrace his love, embrace the law of God into our hearts by faith, and we would walk in the glory. Man, I'm telling you, I'd rather walk in the glory of God than anything else. You know, when the Holy Ghost comes to a meeting, the glory comes. And when he comes, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, he's come. What does he come for? So that we can partake with him the things of heaven, to feel his presence, to feel his love, to feel his joy, to rest assured that everything's going to be all right when you go through hardships of life, that he's always there to pick you up. He's always there to mold you and shape you into the image of his son, that he's not there waiting for you to do a mistake. He's there to pick you up and to help you carry you along the way. That's what he's all about. Don't never think for a moment that he's up there manipulating our life. God doesn't do that. The manipulator is old Slewfoot. You know who old Slewfoot is, huh? It's the devil himself. He'll blackmail you. He'll shout out your sins from the top of the hill. That's right. He'll want to condemn you. But thank you, Jesus. Jesus covers our nakedness. He covers our sin. By the blood, by faith. I can't wait next week to get into knowing how the Father truly loves us. When you get a hold of who Jesus is, God, and who God the Father is, man, I'm hoping you're going to fall that much more in love with him. You love him already. But Jesus said, as far as love is concerned, there's no law. You can love as much as you want, and there's no limit. There's no limit to how much you want to love God. There's not. And he loves you despite of yourself. That's right. Some of us will wake up in the morning and blow it. Somewhere in the afternoon or in the evening. We may say something, do something, think of something, perform something, whatever the case may be. And yet he's long-suffering with us. How many are so blessed to know that? And his mercy and his grace, it's not for us to, well, you know, I'm just going to continue doing things contrary. No. Knowing that makes us want to say, Lord, thank you. I love you so much. And I want to stay close to you. Because you are my shield and buckler. You are my protector. If I go to the things of the world, they don't protect me. They want to destroy me. And when you figure that out, you'll find out that God's law of liberty are love letters to you. And he tells you how much he loves you. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for this wonderful Bible study that you presented to us. It's your word. And Lord, thank you, God, that we're just mailmen that pass it on. We pass it on from you. You are the lawgiver. You are the lawmaker. And you're the one that came to save us. And I'm praying for someone that's listening right now on the internet. Maybe someone burned you a CD of this message and somehow it got into your way or your path in your hand. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a wonderful opportunity to surrender to God. Ask Him to be the Lord of your life. Ask Him to be the Savior of your life. Ask Him to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords of your life. And it's a simple prayer by faith. We'll pray this prayer with you. And that you would connect with the God that created you. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a praise and a shout. Hallelujah. Is God worthy? He is worthy. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.